Just like the nothing can separate us from the love of God passage at the end of Romans 8, the passage that we are going to look at today is one that is very close to my heart, that is something of a cornerstone in my faith and life experience. I remember the very first time that I read in this verse in my little, the little blue living Bible, Ephesians 3:17-19, Paul prays, "I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go deep down into the soil of God's love, of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is." I don't know if it was the roots and soil stuff that connected me with me as a farm boy, or if it was just this marvelous vision of God's love, but this passage gripped me, and I am excited to be able to share it with you here this morning. this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian church and for our church here in Langford invites us to know this marvelous love, and not only that, to experience it, to sense it and feel it for ourselves. So let's look together at Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, and we'll look at this great prayer that Paul prayed. So here it is in the New International Version, verse 14 of Ephesians 3. "For this reason," Paul says, "I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, would have power, together with all of the saints, to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's a great prayer, and one that we can learn a lot from. So let's go back and look at it just a piece at a time. So verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name." For this reason. For what reason? If you slide your finger up just a few verses before, you'll see that in Ephesians 3, Paul has just been talking about God's master plan for salvation. It's not just about saving the Jews, but saving the Gentiles as well, saving all people on earth. For that reason, that God the Father has decided to rescue all people, Paul says he falls down on his knees to give thanks. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, the Father, who loves you as a father, would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now, when I think glorious riches, I always think DuckTales. Do you know the show DuckTales? Anybody? Yeah. So DuckTales is about Scrooge McDuck, who is your stereotypical Scottish rich duck. And he and his cousins, nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, go on adventures together to find treasure. You know, usual stuff. But the big image in DuckTales is that Scrooge McDuck has a giant vault filled with gold, and it is so huge that he has a diving board way up at the top, and he can jump off the diving board into his vault of riches and swim through it. How he can dive into the money and not get hurt, I'm not sure. But then again, it is an anthropomorphic cartoon duck. Here's the thing. Scrooge McDuck has glorious riches. He has so much available to him. It is eclipsed by God's glorious riches. Everything in heaven, on earth, Everything seen and unseen, material things and spiritual realities, these are God's glorious riches. And Paul prays that out of those glorious riches, in accordance with their greatness, we would be able to experience God's love. Scrooge McDuck is notoriously stingy. God is notoriously generous. And so we pray, Lord, in accordance with your great glorious riches, would you pour out upon us power? Power for what? That we might have the Holy Spirit in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That's verse 17. This prayer for strength is not so much about like perseverance or power as it is enabling, right? Paul is saying, may you be strengthened out of God's glorious riches by the Holy Spirit from the inside out, so that you will be able to see Christ as he truly is, that you would daily turn from sin and self and welcome him into our heart every day. The Living Bible, I think, is onto something here. It says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living in him as living within you as you trust in him. You know, there's a sense in which we open our hearts to the Lord. We say, Jesus, come in and do your work. But there's a sense in which this is God's work, too. We need his help to lower our defenses, to make Jesus' priorities our own priorities. You know, when Jesus first comes into us, you have to admit that each of our hearts is a bit of a fixer-upper, right? We need Jesus to come in and to do this work, to point out the areas in our lives that are less than 100% committed to the Lord, areas of secret sin that we don't want to acknowledge, areas where we need growth. We need the Father to give us his Spirit so that Jesus can dwell in our hearts to make that difference. And notice that this is a very Trinitarian perspective, right? Paul prays to the Father that he would give his Spirit to enable the Son to dwell in us, right? God is three, God is one, our one God. Each of the persons has a job to do here. And Paul prays, Father, Son, Spirit, each of you do your thing. Now that in and of itself, I think, is a really meaningful prayer. Lord, give us power to let Jesus into our lives, to let him critique our lives, to let him strengthen and improve our lives. I can tell you from experience that you need help with that. You know, for years I knew about the glorious riches of God's salvation, and yet it was just words to me. I was too proud to admit that I needed it. I was too full of myself to make any room for Jesus to come in. And so I bet that there were people praying for me that I would have the strength to receive Jesus and let him make my heart his home. You know, I told you before about going out after church one night and looking into the sky and saying, God, I don't understand all this, and yet I know enough to say I've gone far from you, and yet I need your grace, and I trust in you. And that was God giving me the power to receive Christ by faith. So listen, by all means, pray that prayer, maybe for yourself, maybe pray that for somebody in your family who does not yet know Jesus. So pray that prayer, but know that in Paul's prayer, it's really just step one, right? Paul wants Jesus to live in our hearts for a purpose, and that is the next verses, verse 17. Paul prays that the triune God would enable us to welcome Christ into our hearts through faith, so that, verse 17, being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The NIV breaks that into two sentences, but in Paul's letter and in Paul's thought, it's really just one big long sentence. It's one long prayer. And so Paul prays, "May Christ dwell in your heart through faith, so that you will be able to experience the fullness of the love of God." Tony Merida is a pastor who I read this week. He goes on to quote Don Carson, who says, "This is not a mere intellectual application of the love of Christ that Paul is after. Paul is not asking that his readers become more articulate in the greatness of God's love in Jesus, or to grasp with the intellect alone how significant God's love is in the plan of redemption. He is asking God that they might have the power to grasp the dimensions of that love for themselves." You know, for some people, I think that they might wrestle with a couple of questions when it comes to the love of God. The first is, does God really love us? You know, in a culture where we are so used to earning people's favor, showing that we merit it before people will pay attention to us, in a world where many of us have been shaped by this sort of Catholic idea of you need to do good works to get yourself right with God, is it true that God just loves us regardless of our behavior? Well, look at this verse. Paul says, listen, may God enable you to grasp how high and how wide and how deep and how long Jesus' love is. A love that if you sat for 1,000 years and tried to count it, you could never fully comprehend it or get to the end of it. So to anyone who wonders, does God really love us? Is this a real affection? Or are we just like, you know, doing good deeds in order to get our contract up so that finally God will give us his approval? No, this is the very heart of God poured out to us to say, I truly love you. I'm truly committed to you. This is not a contract back and forth. This is the Father of all families, the Father of each of us, loving us deeply. Issue number one, does God love us? Issue number two, does God love me? I know myself. I know the things that I've done. You know the things that you've done. There are some people who will go, could God really love me? Does God really care about me as a person? Again, look at this verse. Paul prays that we would know this love, and not just know the love, but experience it for ourselves, to feel the love of God from the inside out. Does God love you? Yes, he does, infinitely. And it's God's will, and it's Paul's prayer, and it's my prayer that you will be able to feel and sense internally that love for yourself. How will you feel it? In a variety of ways. Through the love of other people, through the kindness and care of other people, in the still, quiet moments of your heart, when you just sit and listen, and the Father says, I really do care about you. As you read his word, and you come across passages like this that say, hello, God loves you deeply. I mean, there is something of a paradox here, verse 19, right? He says, oh, that we might know the unknowable dimensions of God's love. Right? May you know the love that surpasses knowledge. This is why we need Christ living in our hearts through faith. Right? That we would sense with conviction and with power from the Spirit inside of us that Jesus is truly committed to us. God's love may surpass knowledge, and yet God's Son enables us to experience it for ourselves. So Paul here prays that that we will be more and more, that Christ would be more and more at home in our hearts, so that we might experience the love of God more and more. But there's one more step. Paul prays that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, that we might experience the grand dimensions of God's love, so that we might be filled with all the fullness of his love for us. So that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God is what Paul puts. That is, that we would be filled up with God's character, that we become more and more like him in all that we do, that we would be so rooted in God's love that we would draw strength and nourishment up from it, the way a plant gets nourishment out of the ground from its roots, that we would be rooted in place to stand firm regardless of whatever storms may come our way in our lives. Yeah, and draw up energy to bear fruit in keeping with God. That's what the full being filled with all the fullness of God is about. Frankly, with this prayer, I think there's a bit of an Oreo situation going on here, right? Where Paul prays that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we would know his love, so that we become more Christ-like in all that we do, right? Jesus in us enables us to know God's love, so that we would be more and more like Jesus. In my kids, I see some of their friends' mannerisms poking through, and that makes sense, right? When you are close with someone, you take on some of their characteristics. If Christ is in us, we would take on his characteristics and become more and more like him. That's a great prayer, right? That Christ would be more and more at home in our hearts, so that we would know the love of God more and more for ourselves, that we would become more and more Christ-like. Let's just take a minute and pull that together then. May Christ dwell in your heart through faith. Right? May the Father in heaven enable you to take hold of the Spirit inside of you and to receive the critique, the evaluation, the encouragement that the Spirit gives to you. If you have been on the fence about whether or not Jesus is worth following, I pray that the Spirit in you would enable you to let down those defenses and to let Jesus in. And if your heart has been Jesus' home for a long time, then I pray that he would become more and more at home there. That you would let him into the doors that up to this point you have said, no, you can go anywhere except for in there. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and so welcoming Jesus into your life, may you know the fullness of Christ's love for you. The Bible says a lot about God's love for his people, but have you experienced it for yourself? Like, do you have any idea just how deeply God loves you? He loves you higher than the clouds, deeper than the oceans, wider than the equator. He loved you to the cross and back. Right? Galatians 2:20, the Son of God loved you and gave his life for you. Singular. Tune your heart. Spend time with his people. Spend time with his word so that you can hear the Heavenly Father saying, I love you, my precious child. And as you do that, may you grow more and more to be like Christ, becoming more and more like him in all that you do. Right? We love because he first loved us. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith that you may experience the fullness of his love and become like him in all that you do. Let's pray together. When I think of the wisdom and the scope of your plan, Lord, a plan that would rescue people who wanted nothing to do with you, a plan that would save sinners in all times and all places, a plan that would see the God of all the universe sacrifice to save somebody like me. When I think of that plan, We fall on our knees in our hearts. We pray with humility and gratitude. To you, our Father, the Father from whom every family on earth and in heaven gets its name. We pray that out of your glorious, unlimited resources, you would give us the mighty inner strengthening of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ would be more and more at home in our hearts, living within us as we trust in him. Lord, may our roots go down deep into the soil of your marvelous love. And may we be able to feel and to understand, as all God's children should, how long and how wide and how deep and how high his love really is, and experience that love for ourselves. Lord, if any of us get your love on an intellectual level but not on an experiential level, I pray that you would make it so clear to us. Pour out your Spirit on us that we might sense your commitment to us. May we know the marvelous dimensions of your love for us. May we experience for ourselves a love that is so great that we will never see the end of it. And Lord, may we be filled with all the fullness of God. May we be filled with your character and your goodness. May we overflow with the love with which you love us. We pray in Jesus' name.